Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody, and welcome again to Anointed and Appointed Word Ministries broadcast with Brother Norman Woodard. I am Brother Norman, and I'll be sharing an anointed and appointed word that will change, challenge, and charge your character to make an impact in this world for the kingdom of God and our Father in heaven. I'd like to say good morning to you this great Saturday morning. Hope you slept well, had a peaceful rest in the presence of the Lord. I'd like to send special thanks to Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield, and they have a program that comes on every Saturday evenings, which will be tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the name of their broadcast is Turn on the Light Broadcast. Turn on the Light Broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield, which comes on every Saturday evenings at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And they're also the assistant pastors at Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International in Stockbridge, Georgia, where the senior pastor is Archbishop Ruth W. Smith, the lead pastor is Bishop Kevin Jones, and the youth pastor is Pastor Zachary Osler. That's Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International. And you can catch them on Facebook and on YouTube. And you can also catch them on their website, comeintothelight.org. That's comeintothelight.org. So I thank you once again for calling in. And before we get into the word, we're going to hear a song. Amen.
Rebuild me better, man.
Is that your confession this morning? Lord, make me better. I just want to be better. Even better than I was yesterday. Just want to be more like you, God. Hallelujah. Let the words that I say be better. The things that I do be better. The way that I live be better. My attitude better. My approach better. Everything I do, make me better. Hallelujah. Because I'm representing you. Thank you, Father. Glory. She said, I tried to write my own life. Anybody can attest to that? Lord, you're the writer. You're the author. He said, I know the plans that I have for you. Peace. And expect it in. Make me better, Father. Hallelujah. Well, good morning once again. Thank you for calling in again to Anointed and Appointed Word Ministry. We're going to get into the Word, amen. I'm going to be coming out of the book of Psalm 71st chapter and verse 1. Psalm 71st chapter, verse 1. And we're going to turn over to James, the 3rd chapter, starting at verse 13. Psalm 71 and 1. And I'm going to read this out of the Amplified Bible. And it reads, in you, O Lord, do I put my trust and confidently take refuge. Let me never be put to shame or confusion. Now let's turn to James, 3rd chapter, starting at verse 13. And I'm going to read this out of the King James Version. And it reads, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descended not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So we sow peace, we reap peace. Let us pray. Father, we thank you once again for allowing us to come before you, to dwell in your presence, to sit at your feet, and to receive what you would have to say to us, God. Make us better, God, to do what you called us to do. to be an impact in this world, to represent you, Father. Let the life that we live speak for us, God, and give you glory. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. The title of the message this morning is From Confusion to Communion. From Confusion to Communion. I want to read Psalm 71 and 1 again. And it reads, In you, O Lord, do I put my trust and confidently take refuge. Let me never be put to shame or confusion. Now, we know that David was the king. And what he said, basically, was law. But though he was king, his mentality and approach to life was not about glorifying himself, but honoring God. That's key. And by this time, he had matured and gained in God through trials, tribulations, tests, temptations, failures, defeats, and struggles, how to put his total trust in him. So everything that he had been through, his life's journey, he had come to a place where he put his total trust in God. He had grown from confusion to communion. Because remember, David wasn't always a good man. He was a murderer. He was a trickster. He was an adulterer. Those were some of the things that he was. But he's older and more mature now. And he had come to the place where he had moved from confusion to communion. So let's look at the word confusion. Confusion is the act or instance of confusing. The act or instance of confusing. It's the quality or state of being confused, being perplexed, disoriented with regard to one's sense of time, place, or identity, disordered or mixed up. This is what confusion is. A confused mass or mixture. So when I look at the word confusion, the two words that stick out to me is the word con and the word fuse. So let's look at the word con. Con is to know, to learn, to study, or to examine clearly. To be on the negative side or in opposition. Con is being argumentative, manipulative, persuasive. Something used deceptively to gain another's confidence. Listen to that. Something used deceptively to gain another's confidence. That's what the word con means. Now let's look at fuse. Fuse is to reduce to a liquid or plastic state by heat to melt. It means to blend thoroughly by as if by melting together, to combine. So fuse is a mixture. So when you look at the word con and the word fuse and put them together, it's deception being mixed and blended together to combine what is what we know as confusion. So we have to be careful who we're around. The Bible says evil communication corrupts good behavior. And then in Amos 3:3, it asks a question. Can two walk together except they be agreed? From confusion to communion. Now let's turn to James, the third chapter. James, the third chapter. Starting at verse 13 again. And I want to read this passage out of the New Living Translation. And then I want to read it out of the Message Translation. James, the third chapter, verse 13. And it reads out of the New Living Translation. If you are wise and understand God's ways, the key word is the first word, if. If you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life. So how do we do that? By doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. Said, prove it by living an honorable life. Doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. So humility comes from the wisdom of God. So if wisdom comes from the wisdom of God, the opposite. If humility comes from the wisdom of God, the opposite of humility is pride. So if humility comes from the wisdom of God, then pride evidently comes from the wisdom of Satan. Verse 14 says, but if you are bitterly jealous, Isn't that interesting? Bitterly jealous. Speaking of Satan, when he was in heaven as Lucifer, being the choir director, being the one that God used to do worship in heaven. Though he was in that position, he became jealous and bitter and started going around in heaven, spreading lies and being deceitful, trying to get the angels to worship him instead of God. That's where it started. But if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. Wow. Evil has no limits. Evil of every kind. Disorder. Verse 17 says, but the wisdom from above is first of all pure. That's the difference. The wisdom of God is first of all pure. But the wisdom of Satan is deceitful. That's the difference. It has an evil agenda behind it. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. Always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. That's the wisdom of God. Now let's read it out of the Message translation. Verse 13 is asked a question. Do you want to be counted wise to build a reputation for wisdom? Here's what you do. Live well. Live wisely. Live humbly. That's a motto. Live well. Live wisely. Live humbly. It's the way you live, not the way you talk, that counts. It's the way you live, not the way you talk, that counts. Mean-spirited ambition isn't wisdom. Boasting that you are wise isn't wisdom. Twisting the truth to make yourselves sound wise isn't wisdom. It's the furthest thing from wisdom. It's animal cunning. Animal cunning. When I think about that term, I think about the Garden of Eden. When Satan used the serpent, it says that the serpent was subtle and cunning more than any other creature. Slick. How he was twisting God's words. Did God say? Did God say? That's why we should know the word. When we know the word, nobody can confuse us with asking us, did God say? Because when you know in your knower, that's where your confidence is. Says mean-spirited ambition isn't wisdom. So when you're interacting with people, We have to try the spirit. I hear what you're saying, but what's your agenda? What's your reason? What's your purpose? Where is this coming from? What spirit are you operating in? Boasting that you are wise is in wisdom. A wise person doesn't say that they're wise. When you hear them speak, you already know that they're wise. Twisting the truth to make yourselves sound wise isn't wisdom. It's the furthest thing from wisdom. It's animal cunning, devilish conniving. Whenever you're trying to look better than others or get the better of others, things fall apart and everyone ends up at the other's throats. Verse 17 says, real wisdom, God's wisdom, that's what real wisdom is. God's wisdom begins with a holy life and is characterized by getting along with others. That's how you can tell that someone is a wise person, how they react with other people, their approach, their attitude, their behavior. It's something about them. But then it says that real wisdom, God's wisdom, begins with a holy life. That's the key. A holy life. Representing God, not representing yourself. Because when you represent yourself, you're actually representing Satan. That's where that, where it says selfishness comes in at. That devilish conniving. And it's characterized by getting along with others. It is gentle and reasonable, overflowing with mercy and blessings. You have encountered somebody where you just can't reason with them? No matter what you say, it's not getting through to them. That's when you have to agree to disagree. Say, you know what? I'm not going to continue this. Said it's gentle and reasonable, overflowing with mercy and blessings. Not hot one day and cold the next. That sounds like consistency. Not two-faced. You can develop a healthy, robust community that lives right with God and enjoy its results only if you do the hard work of getting along with each other, treating each other with dignity and honor. That's a godly community. But it said it takes work. A lot of people don't even try to put forth the effort, even to speak to people. It seems like that it hurts people to speak. Good morning. How you doing?
Morning.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going.
Where is it going? Hey, how you doing?
Oh, I'm here.
Just hurts people. We can't allow that to dictate how we act or how we react. Because however someone else is feeling has nothing to do with us in our first encounter with them. But we must be peaceable. We must show mercy. We must be loving. We must be kind. We must treat others with dignity and honor. From confusion to communion. Let's look at the word communion. Communion, intimate fellowship or rapport. Intimate fellowship or rapport. I heard someone say the word intimacy. They broke it down as come into me and see who I really am. That's what intimacy is. You have a relationship where you're just open to revealing who you are. Intimate fellowship or rapport, communication. Communion is a body of Christians having a common faith and discipline. So when I look at the word communion, the word commune stands out. Commune means to talk over, discuss, communicate intimately. We're not fussing. We're not arguing. We're talking it through. We're discussing it. I'm hearing you. You're hearing me. We're communicating intimately because our approach is sincere. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. And I want to read something about the word communion. Communion, Paul's term describing the nature of the Lord's Supper, and thus the term used by many church groups to refer to their celebration of Jesus' final memorial supper with his disciples. So when we hear the word communion, that's what we think of. When Jesus and his disciples were together, and when Jesus broke the bread and blessed it and said, "This is my body broken for you. Take it and eat it as a representation of honoring my body being broken for you." And then he took the cup of wine and he blessed it and said, this wine represents my blood being poured out for you. Drink it in remembrance of me. So that's where the term communion came from. Or as some people say, the Lord's Supper. Paul used the Greek term koinonia. That's K-O-I-N-O-N-I-A. Koinonia. Express the basic meaning of the Christian faith. A sharing in the life and death of Christ, which radically creates a relationship of Christ and the believer and of the believers with one another in a partnership or unity. So this is what communion does. First, it reminds us of what Jesus did, of what he went through, of what he endured. His sacrifice, his body being beat to the point where they couldn't even recognize him, and his blood being poured out for us, taking our sins to the cross. So understanding what he did for us, and then us coming together as one, as a unity. As we mentioned last week, Jesus' prayer to the Father was, God, make them one as we are one, that we all may be one together. One heart, one mind. That was the title for last week. One heart, one mind. So coming together in unity to remember what Jesus had done for us. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians 10th chapter, verse 15. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 15. And I'm reading out of the King James Version. And it reads, I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. As to wise men. Judge ye as I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel after the flesh, are not there eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What say I then? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Wow. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? Verse 23 says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Let no man seek his own. Being selfish. Being prideful. Honoring and glorifying himself. But every man another's wealth. being considerate. Always thinking about how to make someone else better. Encouraging one another. Building up one another. Edifying one another. Thinking about each other. Verse 25 says, whatsoever is sold in the shambles that eat, asking no question for conscience sake. So this is saying, we go to the butcher or to a restaurant, to the grocery store, and we order something to eat. Well, we don't have to ask where did this come from or what does it represent. I have a personal motto when it comes to food. It's called bless it and drop it. That's my personal motto. Bless it and drop it. I'm going to bless it, I'm going to thank God for it, and I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to eat it. That's my motto. Now, if you know, that goes back to verse 20. It says, but I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. So if you know that something is being served as a sacrifice or as a representation of Satan, then you don't partake of it. Like when it comes to Chinese food, I love Chinese food, but I don't need the cookie. You know, a lot of people break open a cookie and then read what's in it. That's not representing the wisdom of God. Because you can read that and believe it. But then if it's something that you don't agree with, you're not going to believe it. But every word of God is true. Every word of God is pure. We can trust in everything that God says. And then verse 26 says, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. That's where the humility comes in at. It's not about me, myself, and I. Because none of this is ours. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So that's how we approach things, knowing and understanding that it's a gift from God. So that's why we should be thankful. David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth, because everything that I have, everything that I've come through, I owe it to God. Hallelujah. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 6 chapter. 2 Corinthians 6 chapter. We're almost done here. Starting at verse 14. 2 Corinthians 14. And it reads, "Be not ye unequally yoked together with unbelievers." You can't tell me who to be with. You can't tell me who to hang with. But the word of God can. "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial?" Belial is another word for Satan. "Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols?" Now listen to this. "What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." So, the temple of God is us. So he's saying, he's asking, what agreement do you have to do with idols? You're the temple of God. You represent God. So why are you agreeing with idols? Verse 17 says, "Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord." Saith who? "Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." So we can't get upset when people call us out and ask us, why are you hanging with such and such? Not just associating with them or just, you know, speaking to them, but hanging with them. That's called confusion. Now let's go to chapter 13, 2 Corinthians chapter 13. We're going to end with this. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, starting at verse 11. "Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect." And you've heard me talk about this word perfect. It's not saying be sinless. Only Jesus live a sinless life. Be perfect. Perfect is doing good, living holy, being peacemakers. It says, be perfect Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. Greet one another with an holy kiss. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Some of the meanest people are church folk toward church folk. In church then, I can't stand her. What? I'm not going to sit next to them. What? Says greet with a holy kiss. Verse 13 says, all of the saints salute you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Now that last scripture specifically tells the Trinity. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son, and the love of God, God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Ghost, God the Holy Spirit. Three in one. Three separate persons in one Godhead bodily. Be with you all. Amen. So, these three, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, should be operating in us at all times. And when we do that, we will move from confusion to communion. Intimately fellowshipping as one together with the love of God toward one another. From confusion to communion. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for challenging us, God. Thank you for charging us. And thank you for even changing us to be better. To be better representatives of you, Father. To treat others better, Father. To live better, Father. To represent you better. Get your glory out of our lives, God, as we humble ourselves and honor you, giving you glory, as we lift up your Son, Jesus, and you will draw all men and women and children unto you. We thank you and we praise you from even moving us from a state of confusion to a state of communion, one with the Father. Hallelujah. We thank you and we praise you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. From confusion to communion, it's time to grow up. Thank you for calling in once again to listen to Anointed and Appointed Word Ministries broadcast. Everybody have a blessed weekend and a blessed week. And we'll talk to you again next week. 917-388. 4161. Anointed and Appointed Word Ministries. Love you. Bless you. Talk to you later.
Let the life I live speak for me. Let the life I live speak for me. In all I do, I will glorify you. Let the life I live speak for me. Your glory, for your glory. Let the life I live speak for me.
Let the life I live speak for me. Bless you.